on today's UFC Unfiltered. Jimmy is not in, but my buddy with a great accent, Jamie English, is in. Say hello, Jamie.
Hello, everybody.
We have Darren Till, fresh off his win over Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, calling in. It's going to be a phenomenal show. Give a listen.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again.
He's out.
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Do you want this or no?
Nah.
Do you want this or no?
No, thanks.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Oh, let me tell everybody who I am. It's Matt Serra. I hate doing the third person thing. It's so freaking weird. Tito Ortiz used to always do that. Every time he did that, I would cringe and throw up in my mouth a little bit. But it's me, everybody. And my Jimmy is gone. I can't keep up with that dude. He's taking over the world. But the yin to my yang, that's the worst thing I ever said. Jamie English is here. Yes, Jamie English is here.
Hello.
And Jamie really balances out the show because I've been known, Jamie, to be two things, hyper and loud.
No.
Two things that you're not. That's not you. If somebody says, you know who's hyper and loud, they're not going to go, Jamie English.
They're not going to fucking say that.
Why don't we give some credentials here for this guy, in case anybody's just tuning in for the first time.
About Jamie English?
Yeah.
Jamie English is the, I'm going to say the head. He's going, oh no, how do I share the title with other instructors? But he is a one of the main MMA and Muay Thai instructors at the world famous Henzo Gracie Academy here in Manhattan in New York City. Yes! That's both for the Henzo Gracie Academy and for my good friend Jamie English, who's out there training the likes of Neiman Gracie and Master Henzo himself. Is my lip bleeding? Look.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Pete Drago Cell. Is this bad enough?
No, it's not bad. You want a tissue or something?
I might need one. I was rolling with Pete Drago Cell. And Pete Drago Cell, he didn't get the memo that that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is the gentle art. He didn't get that memo.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean?
I do know what you
mean. So, I mean, I'm not really training for elbows right now, but hey, what the hell? When I get one,
you appreciate it.
I don't, as long as like, I don't need stitches, which sucks because it kind of like just stinks. So thank you. So I took a nice elbow when I was passing his butterfly guard. But hey, man, listen, you know, stuff happens when you're looking to take limbs.
It does.
You know, but damn, do I feel good. I rolled with my buddy Zach Fala on Saturday. We had a nice hour roll. 45 minutes. I might add another 15 to make myself sound younger. And I needed it, Jamie. You know why? Because my week was a whirlwind. Right. A whirlwind! Can I tell you about it really quick?
Tell me.
By the way, we're going to have Darren Till call soon.
Yes.
Wait, really quick. He's from Liverpool. Yeah. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from the same city.
You're from Liverpool?
Yeah.
A Scouser, as they were saying.
So wait, now tell me. Now, you guys might have... Are you interested in talking to him? He had a hell of a fight the other night.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
It's weird, though, because... we're going to get back to my week afterwards. Doesn't matter. I traveled a lot. I went to Puerto Rico. Was I here since I've been to Puerto Rico? Yeah. Yes, I was here once.
Yeah, you were in, yep.
But anyway, I was in Puerto Rico really quick. We'll get back to Territil in a second. To visit my friend over there, Edgar. We did a little fundraiser. It's nice. And then I got back. And then I had to go for one day. I was here. I visited Chris the producer. Not really. I did the fucking show. But listen. So then, Jamie, I had to go to Vegas to play a video game.
I saw that.
You did see that?
I did, yeah.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
I beat Dana twice. I might be removed from looking for a fight because I whipped his ass so bad. I was about to give some, you know, you don't want to, you know, beat up the boss too big.
No.
I'm employed.
Yes.
By the UFC.
Well, that's the rule, isn't it? Never outshine them.
I was going to take a dive, like in the end of Mr. Mom. The beginning of Mr. Mom. Remember, he's doing the obstacle course with his boss?
Yeah.
I bring that up a lot, and I realize how old I am. Nobody's seen that. You ever see Mr. Mom?
Yeah, but a while ago.
Yeah. All right. I seen it as a kid with my grandparents. Did you ever see Mr. Mom with Michael Keaton?
Yeah, bits of it, yeah.
Yeah? It's not a great movie.
No.
He let the boss win the obstacle course.
Well. Who knows what he's doing?
I should have let Dana win.
Wow.
Fuck that, dude. I had him on the cage.
Did you?
Yeah. And Dana, they had his body from, I think they took the image of when he was on Looking for a Fight. because he dieted and got in that ocean. He looked good.
Yeah.
You know? Dana looked like the fucking fighter. Yeah, look at him. Anyway, we had a good time. But I'm back here with you guys. Jamie, I'm so loud and Jamie's just looking at me. Jamie, let's talk about the fights really quick because we're going to have Darren Till on the phone really soon. Now, Darren Till is unbeaten.
Yep.
What exactly is his record?
He's 17-0-1 now.
He's good. Yeah. What was his... Now, he's got that... And you should like his style. I was really intrigued by this fight with Wonderboy because it really... You know, it's like a... It is a... When it comes down to styles, like the karate style versus the Muay Thai style.
Yeah.
Till is very big. I mean, I know he didn't make weight. I heard there was some stuff with that. But... You know, he's a big welterweight.
He is.
What did you think of the fight?
I was, honestly, I was really impressed with Till.
Yeah?
I thought that he fought a very, very mature and measured fight.
Because, patient fight.
Yeah, exactly. And that wasn't what I think people expected, including perhaps Wonderboy in their corner. And I know Stephen Thompson personally, and I have the highest respect for him and his family and his team. So... you know, I think they just really had a lot of respect for each other. And I also feel like Till really enjoyed and rose to the occasion. I think it was a very, very smart fight on his part.
It was a close fight, but, like, this is the thing. I remember, I'm going to tell you, be totally honest with you. And I'm going to say, like, as far as rooting for him and everything, I was slightly biased because I do know, I spent time with Wonderboy. He's been at my school before.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's related to Chris now, too.
Yeah, right.
And, he's always out helping Chris, and you can't find a nicer guy.
Yeah,
and his father, absolutely. Again, the family.
Wonderful people.
You're never going to find anybody say anything bad about Wonderboy. Just a great human being.
Yep.
You know, during the fight, I remember watching it, and I was on my toes because it was exciting, especially in the beginning.
Of course, you know,
because it's like, you're like, anything can happen.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking that he was winning every round. I'm like, I remember going through the rounds thinking that, all right, he's landing better. He's landing cleaner shots. And sometimes I know the crowd would be like, whoa, but Wonderboy was rolling with some of these big shots that, not the last round where he got knocked down, but I remember I had him four rounds up until that fifth round. And then, so I'm like, man. And then I'm like, all right. So then I gave the fifth round because he got knocked down. He came back good with that, but he recovered well. But to Till, I gave him that round. But I remember thinking that, man, he's winning. I did like that Till was enjoying it. I was expecting more concern out of Till's corner. They weren't I'm like, am I missing something? I'm like, that's what I thought. I'm like, am I just that biased? Am I just looking at what he's doing? I'm like, what's the matter with me? I should sense more urgency in that corner. You know what I mean? For that fifth round. And I didn't, you know, they weren't like, listen, you need to start beating them. I don't know. Maybe I got to hear it again, the corner. Maybe I missed something. Did you sense any urgency?
No, they weren't. They were very calm.
And I get, and listen, don't get me wrong. I think, I really like Till. I think he's, I can't wait to see what's next for him. Wonderboy's a hard fight for anybody.
Yeah.
But I do feel that he was getting the better, like landing better, cleaner, you know? I don't know the official stats, to be honest with you.
They're up here. I mean, total strikes, Till landed 40 to Wonderboy's 31 and 38-30 in significant strikes. And there was, you know, a couple of seconds 30, on the ground.
Dude, I don't know, man. I don't know about that. Well, how about that? Yeah. I'd have to really see these shots.
Well, I think...
I would have been... Go ahead, Jamie.
I was going to say, like, as far as stats go, like, it's one thing to look at that, but it's easy to look at that after a fight. At the end of the day, and I've done a lot of judging, you know, nobody comes up to the judges between the rounds and goes, look at these stats. Because that's the whole point of having a judge, because you're a human being, you're not a computer. The stats don't show the fight necessarily, or more importantly, the perception of the fight. And we talk, you know, I've talked about this to my friend this morning about the fight. And at first, after I watched, I was like, oh, I don't know if Till edged that.
Okay.
And then I didn't know that was the case. I thought it was very close. And then... when I watched it again.
Aha! Uh-huh. What do you think?
I thought it was, in my view, it was 2-2 going into the fifth.
And interesting.
I'll tell you why I think that.
Because your hometown Liverpool. Well, bastard! You traitor! You traitor! I'm only kidding. That guy booed me.
Because I'm blatantly biased.
No, go ahead.
You guys go
to the same elementary school you in? I'm only kidding.
Maybe.
Go ahead.
Busted, yeah. No, so... I feel like in the first round when I watched it again, I didn't see anything really happen. I felt like it was so even. Like, nobody landed anything especially significant.
It was close, though. I know. I hear you. Go ahead.
So I felt like, yeah, because John McCarthy mentioned this, and I agree with him, and I, you know, depending on what view you want to look at it. Yeah, moving backwards doesn't mean you lose a fight. But it does mean if you can't distinguish what's going on in terms of strikes, if you can't do that, if you think it's even and you aren't moving forward, then judges are going to start to look at that and say, well, you know, and I feel like maybe that's what could have given Till the first round. And then in the second round, and this was borne out after the fight in the post-fight press conference, Wonderboy confirmed that in the second round, his legs were hit by those side kicks. And I felt like when you look at that, all his legs are red and he didn't. That's the only thing I could distinguish in the second round. So I was like, all right, I could give that to Till.
Yeah.
Then in the third round, I felt like he hit Till with much more, like you said, exactly what you said I saw. Like, Till would occasionally maybe catch him, but he was always moving away because he's so good at that, Wonderboy. Yeah. And he doesn't take clean shots.
He blitzed him.
Yeah, so I think Wonderboy won the third and the fourth with the same thing, with the same thing. And then in the fifth, as well as Wonderboy did, unfortunately for Wonderboy, he got dropped. And I feel like unless you absolutely batter the guy or drop him, you're going to lose that round. So I felt like that's how it was close for me.
You know what I think? I think you're on fire today, Jamie English. Jamie English, we're not only having you in here because of your crazy, crazy energy and the fact that you're from Liverpool and the fact that you have an awesome accent. Jamie, look at me. Don't stare at me like that. I'm a Hall of Famer. No eye contact. I'm only kidding. I'm becoming an asshole. Jamie, I'm so happy to see you. That's very good points. You might have convinced me. Listen, well, I thought it was very close.
Yeah, I wasn't convinced that Till, don't get me
you
wrong.
You saw it twice, though.
But I did. And it's then this is the thing, right? This is what gives me, I try and keep a balance where I'm like, and I've done a lot of judging, and it's like, the reason there's three judges, and they see it from different angles.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of having a human element, is that there's going to be some discrepancy. And for me, if Thompson wins that fight, I have no argument. It was close enough to be like, well, maybe it wasn't, you know, as big a margin as people would want to make out. I understand people can get upset with stuff, but a lot of times you only watch the fight once. And then when you watch it again, sometimes you can see things you didn't see. And then you might be able to find some empathy with a judge because they don't get to see it twice. And they have to make a decision right there and then. And then sometimes afterwards, you can look at it again and be like, oh, no, it's a different opinion now.
Yeah.
So I give some support to that. The only thing I would have a problem with is if there's a huge discrepancy in the fight and you go, no way, there's no way that person won that fight.
Yeah.
But when it's close, you've got to give a human element to it. And so I'm really happy for Till because I'm from Liverpool. But I also really like Stephen Thompson. And I don't think it's going to make a big difference in Thompson's career, which is a good thing because if it is a controversial decision, he's still the man for me. And I love that Till paid that respect to him and rightfully so, in my opinion. Right.
I'm going to call Darren, by the way.
Good, give him a call. Are you going to bring up places like that you used to hang out in Liverpool and stuff? Could you please bond with Darren Till?
You mean jail?
I mean, what a... Let me tell you. No, I heard... Look what I was reading here about Darren Till.
Yeah.
What, did he get into some... let me see. What is...
He
got into some... What'd you read?
He got stabbed, yeah. In a nightclub.
He moved to Brazil at the age of 20 after a stabbing incident in Liverpool, which involved fighting multiple bouncers and patrons.
Yeah, that sounds like someone from
at a club during a party in August 2012.
I wasn't there.
Left him with two scars on his back.
Here we go.
Darren Till, is this you?
Hello.
What's up, buddy? You're on with Matt Serra and Jamie English on UFC Unfiltered. How are you, my friend?
Hiya, mate. You okay?
Hey, man. Congratulations on your fight the other night, man. You must be on cloud nine still.
I am sort of. I'm a little bit sick today, but yeah, I'm fine.
I seen some clips of that after party. It looked like it was a good time.
Yeah, it was. I had an after party organized for a few weeks, so I just wanted to get down and see some of the fans and have a good time with them.
Now, I loved your attitude after the fight because, you know, it was a super close fight that everybody's talking about. And Jamie English, who's in here with me, he's from Liverpool, which is a crazy coincidence because he is my guest host today. But he just broke down that fight because he watched it twice. And he just was really going through each round very articulately. I didn't say that word right. It ruins everything. It ruins everything when I say a word wrong. But anyway, he broke it down where he'd had it for 2-2 going into that fifth round. And then obviously that fifth round was a great round for you. How do you feel? Yeah. How do you feel with the result and the aftermath of that and you know, the fact that it's a close fight?
Things don't change it. I think it was definitely a close fight. The thing is, right, is before me, the only other guy to beat Stephen in the octagon, obviously Matt Brown, but Woodley. But the difference is Woodley's a wrestler, so Stephen has to worry about them takedowns. That's why Woodley dropped Stephen and had success on the feet. With me and Stephen probably never worried much about wrestling with me. It was a total striking match. So, you know, going into this fight, for starters, I don't think anyone believed that I could deal with Stephen. So straight away, they'd have proved that I went 5 rounds with him. And I nullified most of his attacks. Yeah, I feel he did attack more than I attacked. But I defended more than he defended my attacks. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was a close chess match. You know, I seen some of the commentators on, I think it was the Fox desk, and I know Bisping was saying, oh, Stephen didn't kick as much, or I didn't. It's not that he didn't kick as much. He couldn't kick because he knows against me, them kicks that would work on someone else were not going to work against me. I defended them just as I knew I couldn't waste my energy with my left hand as much, because he's so fucking good with his head movement and his angles. So that's why I never threw so much, because I'm not throwing it because I know it's not going to be there to land. That's why it had to be so, you know, well thought out in the moment. And it was a close fight, but do you know what, mate? People are going to say he won, and people are going to say I won. You know, that's how it is. If we can get the rematch on, and let's see what happens again. But I think even in the rematch, it's still going to be one of them, you know, who's smarter than who on the night. And obviously, Stephen came into my backyard, hometown, so you've got to, that is another point. I know I've seen some people tweeting about it. He's obviously going to win in his hometown, but you can't just come to someone's hometown. It's like you're fighting the champion and have a close fight and expect to win. So that's usually how it goes. But, you know, to me, I'm not bothered. It was a close fight, and I was happy to share the octagon with one of the best.
I was very impressed. Now, you're an aggressive fighter, so I was very impressed with your patience. Now, they say that everybody's got a plan, a strategy until they get hit. But you stuck to your strategy. Was it difficult? Was it difficult for you not to be more aggressive, because it's a little bit out of character for you? How, you followed a great game plan.
Yeah, well, the game plan I followed was there and then in the moment. I know Stephen expected me to be an aggressive, obviously you guys and a lot of other people did, but I can change up styles whenever I want. I can be aggressive. So I knew with Donald Cerrone I could be aggressive, and I wouldn't face many consequences for that. With Stephen, I can't be aggressive because you're going to face consequences. You're going to get a kick to the chin or a spinning kick, or, you know, some of them good angle punches what he throws. So this is the type of fighter I am, mate. You know, I'm growing. I'm getting better. I'm 10 years younger than Stephen, and I've just hung in there with him and beat him on a close decision. So, yeah, the crowd was riling me up. I could have went all guns out, but then it might have been a different outcome. So 5 rounds. I was calm, collected, I stuck to what I knew, and, you know, I feel like in the chess match, maybe I just triumphed a little bit more than him, but, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, how you doing, mate? It's nice to get to talk to you, a fellow Scouser. I just wanted to say a couple of things. Like, I did notice, and I felt that this was very, very clever and very smart from you, and you've got a very well-established coach there and a great team. I know this. But it was very smart, and you can tell me, you know, if I'm misreading what happened, but I felt like every time he faced you in the southpaw stance, you low kicked him off the rear, or you tried to, and every time he faced you in the orthodox, you were using that lead leg side kick, and I thought that was especially clever and effective. And after the fight, he confirmed in the post-fight press conference that his leg was actually damaged after maybe the second round because of those tactics. I thought that was very clever, Darren. I thought that was brilliant.
That was something that as again I said, just happened while I was in there, because what I knew I had to be careful was his front leg, like a jab. So I knew I had to sort of come back to my Muay Thai style a bit and keep my leg high to maybe defend that kick off. But as I was like bouncing high, I knew I could fire the front leg when he's in an orthodox stance, you know, to hurt his knee and that. And I seen that I did hurt his knee in the face. I didn't attack it throughout the fight because he's very good at changing the stance. And then obviously when he's in the southpaw stance, that big left low kick can come into play. So for me to have him going back and forth from stances because he's worried about which leg's getting hurt was good as well. Maybe that gave him a little bit more to think about. But, you know, again, it was just a crazy chess match between both of us. I could see his eyes, you know, his head working 100% all the time. My head was with the same. No one figured out after 5 rounds. That's what's so good about the fight. You know, maybe some fans might not understand how it went. Even some of the analysts I've heard speaking, they just don't understand true striking. So I'm just sitting there sort of laughing because no one really understands true striking.
Yeah, I thought it was a very clever game plan, and it was well executed. And for me personally, regardless of the outcome, I think that's going to, you know, improve you tremendously as a fighter. And also, I don't see it affecting Wonderboy's position either. He's obviously still in the top tier there, so I can only see it being a win for both of you, to be honest.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, as I've said, a rematch. I would have a rematch with him. I would love to fight that man again and see what happens again. As I said, I think it'd be the same fight. You know, maybe I could come out a bit more aggressive, but such a good opponent to fight against.
Yeah, but there's so many matchups I could think of that get me excited with Darren now.
Yeah,
Darren, did you see Kamaru Usman, his fight with Damian Maia in Chile recently?
Yeah, I didn't see the full fight, but I've seen like clips of it and, you know, I know people saying it was boring and that, but, you know, as you said, you got two grapplers. It's just like me and Steven fighting. They were just trying to outsmart each other. Do you know what I mean? But that's a guy I want to fight with, because it wouldn't be the fight that it was with Steven. I could come out, I could be more, you know, the type of fighter. I'm strong, powerful punches and kicks and elbows to him. And obviously he's going to come out and strong grapple, and he's got good, you know, good power punches. So I think that'd be a fucking great fight.
Now, sometimes guys who have the real, real dangerous arsenal standing up with the striking, they get a little hesitant fighting somebody, maybe like an Usman, that they know if they go too aggressive, they're afraid of them getting underneath and just kind of grinding them out. Now, everything's looking. Listen, Wonderboy actually surprised me. He shot one takedown, but in a heartbeat, you were up. So it looks like you're definitely addressing that. What do you feel now? You're fighting some of these. If you get a fight with a guy like Usman, even Woodley, when they have that grappling base, what do you got for him, man? Is there stuff that we're obviously yet to see? Or,
well, then that's where fakes play a big part. Because if I fight a guy like, let's say, Woodley or Usman, then I know going into the fight with them, that's where my fakes are going to have to play a big part, meaning I'm going to have to, you know, in the first round, hit him with a jab and a few punches and get him twitching for that takedown. And then when he sees me about to throw a left, he's going to go for the takedown. But, you know, it's what I do with it. I've got to fake it. I've got to make him twitch and make him think that punches and kicks are coming when they're actually not, and then land when he's not prepared. So it's sort of, I think it'd be like a faking match. I'd use more fakes, you know. I'm fucking giving me game plan a year away. But that's how it'd be. Do you know what I mean? I'm not really one. I'm not scared. That's the game plan. He's obviously going to be facing punches in that high and low, you know, changing levels to take me down. And I'm going to be facing to stuff to take down him. I think, again, fighting Usman or Woodley or any other wrestler, good grappler wrestlers, I think it'd just be a good fight. Listen, at the end of the day, I just believe I can beat them all. That's it. But when you go into detail about it, you know, it's interesting sizing, you know, weighing the two fighters up.
Now, Darren, this is actually my wife's question, because she asked me, and I'm like, I don't know, because my wife's like, who's the on his arm? She's pretty. I go, I don't know, honey. I'll ask him. Who's that on your arm? What's the tattoo you have of you on your shoulder?
That was just a tattoo. I got it when I was in Brazil.
Okay. All right, my wife thought maybe, oh, is that his girlfriend? I go, I don't know, honey. I go, do I really have to ask that?
it's a long story. A long, drunk story.
Let me ask you your thoughts on RDA versus Colby Covington. How do you think that goes down, Darren?
Yeah, I thought RDA a few weeks ago, but I'm starting to, I was looking up on Colby, and he's got really, like, very good pressure, very, very good wrestler. He's got phenomenal cardio, so I can see Colby winning that. He's got more belief that he's going to beat RDA. So I really see Colby beating RDA with the fight, but I wouldn't be surprised if RDA beats him out. Colby's stand-up's not very good. It's not strong. It's not good. But RDA's very aggressive. But I can just see Colby maybe stretching out a win there. I don't see him knocking him out, but I see him winning definitely on points.
Yeah, you know, Colby... Now, do you feel as a he's got talent, obviously. You think his mouth kind of got him to these big fights more so than his ability? And what do you think of that? Do you think there should be a line somewhere that you don't cross? If there is, this guy don't give a shit, but...
Yeah, no, I don't think so, no. I think at the end of the day, he's doing what he's doing. I know he's been giving me shit for not making weight. And listen, it's okay, honestly, like... There's fucking shit I could say. I could never get away with. But what he's doing is good. He's beating everyone at the end of the day. I think he's only got one loss in the UFC against Wally Alves. But he's beat everyone, hasn't he? And everyone talks about him. I mean, everyone's talking about him. So he can't be doing it wrong, can he? You know, maybe sometimes yeah, he does cross the line. But that's just you got to be able to deal with that. I know that. I didn't like what he put about Mike Perry's girlfriend. But
yeah.
It is what it is. It's fucking hell, we're many, do you know what I mean? I wouldn't give a fuck if he said something about anything. It doesn't matter, we're men. So I think sometimes we get a little bit carried away. Like, oh, that's disrespect. I mean, I don't really give a fuck. Do you know what I mean? So let him do his thing. And people want to see him win or lose. So either way, they're going to tune in. So do you know what? At the end of the day, right, he's doing the right thing.
You know, it's funny, man. Darren's... I'm not saying lucky, but some guys have that it factor about them.
Yeah.
Darren's got that. You got that going for you, Darren Till.
Yeah, there's a lot of
thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement for sure, and rightfully so. You know, one of the things I was going to ask you, Darren, is, you know, for me personally, I left Liverpool about 15 years ago, and like that's when I started doing more of the training over here in the Henzo Gracie Academy, and it was nice for me to see, read about, obviously, and know about the upcoming fighters from Liverpool, and I know you... I've friends with Terry Etienne and like there's a lot of good guys out there. And one of the things I've enjoyed is seeing the growth of it, because a few years back, I felt like we were a little bit behind in terms of our ability to compete with the American fighters. And because it was particularly, you know, dominant over here, it was much more experienced. But now I don't think that's true at all. I think with the likes of yourself and obviously with Michael Bisping being a big, obviously, star, and then even obviously Conor McGregor, like these things are coming up into to a point now where we're really being able to compete with the very best in the world. I think that's exciting, and you must have possibly some friends or some fighters that you're probably excited about yourself and your own team and in others, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I believe America was ahead, and it started there, you know, with the UFC and whatever, and more coverage, whatever. I definitely do agree. But right now, it's any man's game anywhere in the world. You know, Russia, wherever. You know, you got Nigerian fighters, you got African fighters, you know, the English, as you said, Conor, Ireland, Joanna, Poland. So right now, it's not just America or you know, back in the day, Brazil used to fucking be the best. It's everywhere. It's anywhere. And I just think anyone who wants it believes enough and knows what to do, you know, with training. You've got to train correct. You've got to really train smart. So I think all them ingredients can... I'm not a champion, so I can't say to be a champion. I know I'm going to be a champ, but I think to be a good top fighter, you've got to have all them ingredients and the right mind, you know, right frame of mind.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Now, Darren, I don't want to get negative at all, because this is your moment. And you deserve it. But really quick, with the whole weight thing. Now, Dana White is usually the worst when it comes to that, in a sense where he has zero patience for that. Yeah. Tolerance. That's right. He has no tolerance for it. Yet, he said he isn't concerned about your ability to make 170 pounds going forward, that you had a very valid reason for missing this time. And I really respect, Darren, let me just tell you, I really respect that when they brought this up to you in the post-fight press conference, that you kind of just said, listen, you know what? There is no excuse. And I respect that. Do you want to shed light on anything else with that? If you don't, I understand. But if you do, I mean, I just found it interesting that Dana really had some, you know, had that view on it.
No, Dana knows what happened. Obviously, I know. And people know it was like a personal problem and that, but it was just, my wake up was the same as my last fight. I made 170 for my last fight. I was, everything was going well, and you know, I got a call, you know, as I was about to start weight cutting midway, and I had to go and sort something out, you know, with one of my family, and it just sort of distracted me weight cut a bit, and I wasn't able to make weight. So, you know, again, that's all, you know, that happened. But it's not like I'm saying this is why I didn't make weight. I didn't make weight because of me. It is my fault. It's not my coach's fault or Stephen Wonderboy Thompson's fault. It's my fault. And it's a bad thing. It shouldn't happen. But as you said, it's not about you talking to me about negativity. It's adversity, good or bad. So what you're saying is people only want to address the positives in all of life. There's always positive and negatives, and this is my negative, and I have to face this. I can't just say, no, let's focus on the positive that I beat Stephen Thompson. No, well, let's focus on the negative as well, because I didn't make fucking weight, and I didn't make weight, so it's my fault. It's no one else's fault. It's not my family member's fault or because of this, that. I didn't make weight. End of story. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, I respect that, dude. I had to ask.
Thank you.
I also feel like with the, if I can say this, the way that you've carried yourself about this, I think that's why people have the confidence to understand. Like, a lot of people do make excuses, and a lot of people do try to brush over it like it's nothing. And because you haven't done that, Darren, I think that's why people got the understanding and respect that, you know, things do happen, like you said. So I don't think there'll be... I think I can understand where Dana's coming from, you know.
Yeah, I'm a realist as well. And listen, you know, most of these people who are talking, they don't have a weight cut like I have. Like, I still tried my hardest to make weight, and
yeah,
I cut so much weight. Like, people don't understand what we go to cut weight, and I know it's our job to make weight, but I wish some of these normal fucking people who haven't got an absolute clue about anything could just have one moment to just see what it's like to cut weight and have someone tell you that you can't have a drop of water or you can't have a piece of chicken, you know what I mean? So I'd love them to experience that, but at the end of the day, they don't, because they don't do what we do, and it's our job to make weight. So again, you know, you still come out at the bad end of the stick because your job is to make that weight.
Yeah.
Well, Darren, listen, if you had one name to fight, I believe, did you say Kamaru Usman after that? Is that the guy you want next?
Yeah, I said Kamara. I even said to Mick Maynard, if Stephen wants to go, I know that Stephen Thompson's dad, I don't think he likes me much because of it. I think I put a meme out there saying that Daddy still wasn't going to let him fight. So I don't really get good vibes from Stephen's dad. No hard feelings, but I don't think he likes me. So I said to Mick, if he wants to go to his hometown and me fight there, that's no problem with me. Like, do you know what I mean? We can do that. I've said Kamara's name. I was meant to fight Masvidal in this fight. I've said his name.
Oh,
you know, I want to stay away from RDA, Colby, Woodley for now, because I want to let them sort of see what's happening. There can't just be an interim and a title fight when the champion's ready to fight. So we need to see what's going on with them. You know what I mean? So we'll see.
Well, listen, man, all I know is I can't wait to watch you fight again. I enjoy all your fights, buddy. And there's so many good matchups, man. The names you're saying, there's so many other guys in that division that your style, I feel, would match up really well with. And I'm excited for the future, man. Congrats. And thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, Darren Till. Thanks, buddy. Take care, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
I'll tell you, man, that Darren Till, he's got quite the future ahead of him, no?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the world by the knots, Jamie English.
He carries himself really, really well.
He's got that something about him, man.
Yeah.
You know what I like in this close fight, too? He was enjoying it. You could tell that between rounds.
Yep.
And after every round, he had positive body language.
Yep.
He'd put it, even if it's a close round, I'm like, man, I think that goes to, why is he putting his, he looks so confident and so, he like, maybe it's because he's never lost yet. I don't know. I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
But for sure. His ability, his confidence, the way he carries himself, the way he doesn't make excuses. How old is he?
He's 25. And I was going to say,
25?
It's similar to the way Kevin Lee, I feel like, handles his
own. Why do I feel more immature the second I find out he's 25?
Because maybe we are.
I think so. Yeah. All right, listen, I can't wait to watch him. Usman would be very, very interesting.
Yeah.
I want to see how he... I love that he's saying about the feints. Because a lot of guys don't, you know,
well, it's very smart, you know, like that's why I was going to say just before you.
Did I cut you off?
Sorry, it's all
son
good.
Of a bitch. I thought you were done.
That's never happened.
I can't. Huh? I'm not saying another word. You're carrying this whole fucking thing.
No, I'm going to be
sorry. You better
now,
get a halls or something.
Yeah. No, I was going to say one of the things personally that I take from Darren and the culture of where I'm from is that kind of mentality where, you know, how can I say it, like, without, you know, the culture of where I'm from is significant, and it's, you know, it's not unique in the sense of, like, there's many difficult places to grow up.
Yeah.
And Liverpool is a fantastic city, and it's changed in the last decade. There's a lot of money placed in there, and it's a very different looking city. And
like
it's
Harlem over here.
You know, it's come up. It's nice.
You guys are like, what? No, seriously, they're changing a little bit.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And but the thing is for me, and I've been away for a while, the character's never changed, and those people who come up there, like in perhaps for Connor over on the other side, because Dublin and Liverpool are very similar cities. Like when you come up the way people come up and you earn something, you really do earn it. And I feel like that is very evident in Darren. Like, I don't think he's arrogant, and I don't think he's, I don't think he's bloated. I think he understands. I think he knows what he's got. I think he knows he's earned it. And I don't think he's in a rush to get somewhere. I think he knows he's going to measure himself. And in doing that fight with Wonderboy, he's given himself a barometer there. And I think that's very, very, very smart. And I think it comes from the mixture of the talent that he has and the fact that he has that cultural background where he's measured and he knows the value of things, you know?
I felt like I was hanging out with a couple of Beatles or some shit, man. I loved you guys talking to each other. I was like, where's Ringo? I just felt like it was so crazy, right?
Yeah.
The fucking Beatles. Oh, shit, man. I should have asked them about his song, Sweet Caroline.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. What a great song.
What the hell's the matter with me? I ask about his tattoo. My wife wanted to know. She's pretty. Right? I don't know.
Yeah, he said in the post fight that the song, he knew that the whole crowd would get into it, and he just wanted everybody to get into that mindset of you know, chanting along and, like, all everybody being involved.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up, an epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
Listen, did you see any movies lately? No?
Yeah.
What did you see?
I saw Deadpool 2.
All right, don't say a word. We're doing a movie minute at the end of this, all right?
Sweet.
Wait, hold on. Did you see the first one, by the way?
Yeah.
All right, we're talking later. Let's talk about some movies, Chris, the producer. What? No, fuck.
Some fights. No,
some fights. Put them on there, the main card, huh?
Yeah.
Anything you want to mention with the, excuse me. Is my cough button working or not?
Yes, it is.
It is? Let me see.
Do it. Let me see. Yeah, it worked.
Okay, everybody.
There you go.
Cough button. Let's talk about Darren Stewart versus Eric Spicely.
Yep.
I got that one wrong.
Yeah, you. We all did. We all had Spicely. Jim had.
Darren got very emotional.
Yes, he did.
You know?
Yep. Jim had Spicely by second round submission. You had Spicely by first round sub, and so did I. And Bobby Kelly actually had this fight going to a draw. Yeah. He was doing the picks for you.
Did he?
Yeah. So he took
a draw.
You
don't got to say his fight. Picks.
Yeah. No, I think
it's I'm only kidding. You can. Darren, let me tell you. Very emotional guy.
Very much so. You're very carried away there at the end.
You know? I was going to do that Tom Hanks thing where I was going to be like, there's no crying in baseball. This is my Tom Hanks. There's no crying in baseball. That sound like Tom Hanks?
It sounds like you doing like Tom shit, Hanks.
I can't do impersonations, you know? But Darren, I heard right before that, he said, not up in here. He fucking, what was that? He looked awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he was ferocious. Yeah. If he was the underdog, he didn't get that memo.
No.
He didn't get that memo.
Yeah, he came to fight.
You understand?
Yeah, Spicely couldn't get the takedown early, and then that was it.
Tell me about Darren Stewart's record now in the UFC, because the world wants... It's not that I want to know. The world wants to know. By the way, Jamie, are we going to go get something to eat after this or no? What are you going to do? You got something going on?
Yeah.
Are you going back to Henzo's after this? Henzo Gracie Academy in New York?
Yeah, I live there. Yeah.
Are you going back there?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll stop in.
Ooh.
Is Henzo there today?
Your guess is as good as mine.
No, I think I saw him at the airport.
I don't know what's going on. He's back. I think he's back.
Is he back? Is he there today?
I mean, I can text him.
I'm going to stop in. All right, go ahead.
That was Darren Stewart's first UFC win. So he's 1-3 and 1 no contest. He had a win originally, but it was overturned because of an inadvertent headbutt.
He's 1-3
and 1 no contest. That was
the only one. Wait, I'm confused. He only has one win?
In the UFC.
Oh,
yeah, you said in the UFC.
Oh, that's his only... Wait, how many fights does he have in the UFC?
He has 4.
I thought you said it was his first... Oh, it's his first win.
His first win. His first fight, he won by knockout or TKO, but it was overturned because of an inadvertent headbutt. So he...
All right.
So that was a no contest.
All right. Huh. So then give me the other ones.
And then he has losses to Francimar Bajos, Carl Roberson, and Julia Marquez. And this was his first official win over...
I picked Spicely.
Well, he got so emotional at the end. It's probably a big breakthrough for him.
I know what it's like to come back after a couple losses.
Yeah.
And I should have done the same thing. I should have went on my knees and started crying. But I didn't. Listen, I give the guy respect. The guy did good. I'm not goofing on him. I'm just having a good... Can I have a good time? Does that make me a prick, Jamie?
No.
Thanks, Jamie. Give me the next fight. Congrats, Darren Stewart.
Well done, mate.
And Spicely, you'll be back, man. I enjoy watching you.
Yeah, that was a performance of the night. By the way, we'll just say quick, Tom Breeze knocked out Daniel Kelly, who's one of Jim Norton's favorite fighters.
Daniel Kelly?
Yeah.
I like Daniel Kelly,
That
too.
Was also a performance of the night for Tom Breeze, just to put that out there.
Tom made that look like a breeze.
No, very good.
All right.
Then we have...
I'm sorry. I deserve that, though. I do deserve that. I like this. Oh! Give me it. Claudio Silva?
Yeah, versus Nordine Taleb, which we didn't pick because...
Why did we pick that?
It was not originally on the main card. A fight got taken off the main card.
And
this guy moved
Enjoyed this fight. I enjoyed this fight! I fucking enjoyed it! Jamie, look at me. I enjoyed it.
Did you like it?
Jamie.
Tell me what you think.
Let me tell you. First of all, Taleb, he didn't... What's Taleb's record?
Let's check. He's 14 and 5.
I didn't want to be a dead air, so I'm doing that. Yeah. What is he?
He's 14 and 5.
Can we please get his UFC record?
Yeah, it's hard to... I got to count them all.
Well, this is the problem when I want a record. I don't mean to yell.
He is...
But I just like energy.
When you're in a Hall of Famer.
Listen, let me tell you something. I feel so good after my morning.
He's 6-3 in the UFC.
He's 6-3. Wow, he's fought that many times in the UFC.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Well, listen, he's an athletic guy. Like, he looks like one of those guys that's kind of, he could shrug off some of these jiu-jitsu players because he's got that, like, athleticism.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, Claudio, I was impressed, man. I love that. He was all over him. Once he got that takedown, he was just boom, 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 back take. Back take.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful, man.
It was a thing of beauty.
It really was. Yeah. I love some smooth timing.
Yep.
You understand?
Yep.
And he had been out for years, I think, Claudio Silva. He hadn't fought.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He hadn't fought
I'm happy
for a while.
He's back. Claudio, congrats.
Yeah. That was impressive.
Get his Instagram. I want to follow him. Okay. All right, what else we got? Good job, Claudio.
We have Jason Knight versus Makwan Americani, which was a fun fight.
Interesting fight.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Americani, what is his grappling background? Because he's very good on the floor.
Yeah, that is his strong suit. I don't know if he's
sticking his tongue out and stuff. Got to be careful, man. You don't get your fuck. I did that before in a fight too, but you got to be careful. You don't get hit in the not you bite your tongue and shit.
Yeah, he has an amateur wrestling background, Greco-Roman freestyle wrestling, and okay. He trains at SBG with John Kavanaugh.
I think Aljo was just over there.
He was. Yeah, I saw his Instagram.
That's nice. That's nice that they let him over. They allow him over there and. Aljo's a good dude. I'm sure he got some good work over there. But let's talk about this fight. I like Jason Knight. I do. I think he's scrappy, but I think he's got such a good, dangerous guard that sometimes he'll accept the takedown because he's so... I like him down there, first of all.
Yep.
But, you know, Americani. Americani. I said it right?
Yeah.
Americani.
Americani.
I feel he was able to just to neutralize that, you know, enough just to stop, shut it down. So he's constantly just on top, getting out of stuff where other guys probably wouldn't or couldn't.
Right.
But he's relying so much on his rubber guard, he's got really good recovery skills. I like Jason Knight. I thought it was a fun fight. But I think that was a just decision. I believe it was 2-1 from what I was watching.
Yeah.
You know, anything different? What do you want to add on that?
No, I enjoyed it. It was smooth, like you said. It was good. I thought they were
well
matched.
Who's louder, me or you?
I thought they were well matched. You know what I mean? And it made for an interesting fight. You're louder.
What? Yell at me.
For our picks there, me and Jim both had Makwan Americani by decision, and you had Jason Knight by decision. But close fight.
I shared a locker room with the guy.
Did you?
With Jason Knight?
Before? Oh, yeah, that's right.
I like Jason Knight, man. Yeah. All those guys are like, hey there. They remind me of like, not in a bad way, like Deliverance, like kind of like they have that redneck kind of thing going. But they're good guys, very nice guys. I like his crew, Jason Knight. I want to see him again. But good job, man. That other kid was good. A little awkward with the whole calling Jimmy Manoa. He goes, oh, it's Jimmy Manoa. Oh, you had a story. You had your cross out in the Middle East. That was crazy. I'm like, what the fuck? There was a story that was like a private story. It's like one of those where you had to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And he kind of brought it up in there, but he was happy.
Yeah, yeah.
He looked like a nice guy. Yeah, he called out his friend Jimmy to say hello. What else we got?
This is comeback of the year, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Wow.
Arnold Allen and Mads Burnell.
Mads Burnell.
Yep.
I like his style, man.
Very good.
He was reminding me of like his bobbing and weaving makes it, I really like, because you don't know whether he's going to come up with some strikes off those bobbing weaves with that head movement, or he has a beautiful transition into the takedowns that he was using so well. He was really putting this stuff together so nice and fluent.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah, it's like it reminds you of what Darren was saying about the fakes and stuff. Like if you pull away from the punch, you don't know if he's going to come back with another punch, move off, or actually shoot.
And this is another thing with these both guys. If I remember correctly, they're both 24 years old. And Arnold Allen, he's got a superhero name, Arnold Allen. But he was in the fight the whole time. I know he was losing.
Yeah.
But he was a game kid.
Yeah.
And he was still trying. He was trying something could have, he did turn it around.
Yeah.
But he never got mentally out of that fight, and that showed me a lot.
Yes.
Tough kid.
Yeah.
Where's he? What? Can you give me some stats on these guys? Because the world wants to know.
Was he with TriStar? Was he with the.
Yeah, I think Faraz was in his
Faraz
corner.
Faraz was in his corner, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he went over to Canada. He's from England, I believe, and he went over to Canada.
Young. I think the mustache makes him look a little older.
Yeah.
He's got a ferocious mustache.
I think
he does.
He definitely has a Ron Burgundy going on
Oh, my word.
Right?
Yeah. I think that may have given him an edge, actually.
How many fights does he have? Arnold, we're talking about.
He has 1, 2, 4 fights in the UFC.
Fights in the UFC?
Yep.
And what does Mads Burnell have?
He is now 1-2 in the UFC.
He's
good, though.
I thought Arnold did well getting up, too. He seemed to get up from the bottom quite well a couple of times, I noticed.
Damn, Mads... He was putting that together so nice.
Yeah.
You know?
He must be super disappointed because he was going to go away with a
beautiful front choke, though.
That was fantastic.
You know?
That was so tight. I was like,
I think that he was getting those takedowns so smooth and I'm saying, when I say easy, he was timing it so well that it made it look easy.
Yes.
That he stayed there just a little too long.
A little too confident.
And look at those lanky arms.
Yeah. Right.
you know?
And that's how he lost his first fight in the UFC against Michel Pergeras. He's very, very strong, but like a smaller guy, but he lost by submission also. So maybe that's...
First of all, you're fighting a guy named Michel, you better fucking train.
Yeah.
That dude's been rough since out.
A boy named Sue.
Yeah. Boy named Michel.
We all had Arnold Allen. Jim had second round knockout. You had decision. I had decision. And we almost... went the other way on that, but you have the submission. There
that's
great.
Hey, what are you going to do? Yep. You know, listen to me. Sometimes shit happens. I can't wait to do a movie minute later on.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It's so much fun. Deadpool. Oh my goodness. And I got to tell you a story about that.
Ooh, I like it.
I'm going to keep everybody, all the UFC Unfiltered audience. I don't say army because they boo me when I say that.
Oh.
You know, I go, you know, hey, UFC Unfiltered army. And they're like, ah, you suck. It sounds weird. But you know, there is a good audience here.
Yeah.
They are, Jamie English. Are you getting any positive feedback?
I always get people are very, very kind.
Don't bullshit me, Jamie English.
They are, they're very kind.
I know you're too old.
I think probably because they can't understand all of the thing I'm saying.
Right. So like, you must be saying something good, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Let's talk about Neil Magny versus Craig White.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Neil, first of all, I like Neil Magny. I like his attitude. I think he's just a hardworking dude that just always comes to fight. And he's kind of a guy that people overlook. I mean, they're not overlook, but I don't feel like that's another guy I know they don't talk about enough. Maybe like, oh, well, Maya choked him or something. Like, Maya can make some guys that are just killing everybody look
right.
Like, you know what I mean? Just because of that style.
He's like an anaconda. He just shuts everything down. So.
But like, when you see, like, maybe his fight with Carlos Condit recently,
yeah.
People were saying a lot, well, maybe Carlos was rusty, but I think a lot of it's because he's fighting Neil Magny.
Right.
I mean, this other kid, Craig White, looked like he was a tough kid coming off a fight, winning streak. He was getting ready for a title in another organization.
Yes.
So he was in shape.
He took
it
on short notice.
On short notice with like a champ. And we'll see him again.
Oh, for sure.
You know, because that, you know, they respect that when guys step up.
Yep.
But, poof. Welcome to the big leagues. Neil Magny's like, hey,
and he did
let it, me introduce you to the octagon.
And he did it in a very, I felt like confident, respectful way. Like once the fight was done, he wasn't overly celebrating. He was just...
Well, he thanked him.
Yeah, he calmly measured what he did and walked off. I thought that was really...
Neil was getting ready to fight... he was getting ready to fight Gunnar Nelson.
Right.
So he must have been... And he looked in phenomenal shape.
Yeah.
And he was on. He looked... I mean... He just... I mean, it was like he drilled him.
Yeah.
He got him down. Like, there's no way... I mean, I'm like, there's going to be almost a second where I'm like, this might be going, seems like I'd be taking too many.
Right.
But very accurate, ferocious.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know if it's a level thing because this guy took it on short notice, but hey, man, and there's that first time jitters and this and that. But you can't say enough about Neil Magny.
No, it was good.
I think he looked phenomenal.
I did, yeah. He looked like he was in the right place. I thought that he did well. I
wonder what's next for him now. What is he ranked now?
He called out Kamaru Usman also, which could make sense.
There's so many good matchups out there.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like it ties into what I was saying with Darren before about the skills, you know? Like now, and I also appreciate the way Darren said about other countries being, you know, it's like it's true. And I think it's a credit to the likes of the UFC and the promotion of like what we do all over the world to find that, like, you know what? Anybody, anywhere now can be up there at any time because I think the level is getting better. I think we're better at teaching jiu-jitsu. I think we understand it better. I think that the information is much more, you know, available and not just available, but good information, smart information. Like people aren't making the same mistakes anymore. That like it's a closer matchup. I think the fight fans are getting to see the very best of what's available right now.
Because
people are just better at what they do. They just are.
Everything evolves, right, Jamie?
Yeah, it should. You know, hopefully, and I think this is for sure.
Oh yeah, 100%. By the way, so Jim had Magny by decision. You had Magny first round knockout. Good call, Matt.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I had Craig White first round submission because I figured you always see that a guy comes in.
Why would I boo you, Jamie? Don't press that. You're a guest here. Jamie, this is your home. This is your home.
Thanks, mate.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like your good friend's home.
Yeah.
So like, I want you to feel comfortable here. Like when you're at a friend's house, you can take your shoes off and shit.
Yeah.
And just like take a nap.
Are you allowed to fart? Like,
you can fart.
Oh, okay, good.
Sure. So, all right, listen. We already talked about the main event a lot.
We all had Wonder Boy, me and you by decision. Jim had fourth round knockout. Obviously went Darren Till's way, but a very close fight.
Well, Listen, I can't say enough about Wonder Boy. I think his stock does not go down.
Not at all.
And what I was saying earlier was like when I thought I was crazy when I was watching, I'm like, well, maybe I'm just off. And then I heard like the post fight and everybody kind of saying what I was saying. I'm like, all right, maybe I'm not fucking crazy. Because at first I'm like, oh man, maybe I'm just really calling this fucking bias. And then I heard everybody afterwards. But Jamie English, you did shed some nice light on why people should be looking at this fight again, Jamie English. Well, all of Liverpool should be like, you know what? That fucking Jamie English, he doesn't forget where he comes from. You know what I mean? Jamie? Yeah. Jamie? Yeah. Jamie?
Yeah.
I don't know. Listen, give us some, before I talk about some movies, give us some UFC gossip. Man.
Yeah,
what's up?
Well, a couple of things, and there's big news, is that Michael Bisping, former middleweight champion, announced yesterday that he's going to retire.
Well, let me tell you, I just hung out with Michael Bisping recently a little bit. We were doing that video game
thing in
Vegas.
Yeah,
for the EA video game. Him and Wyman were having fun banter and stuff. It was great. Listen, I've always been a fan of Michael Bisping. I'm one of the few guys, I'm not saying the few guys. A lot of guys personally don't either get along with him or like him. I'm not going to say a lot, but a lot, I don't know. I always did. From the second I met him, we always got along. And we never ever had a problem whether I'd see him out or wherever I'd see him. And I'd always enjoy his fights. There's never a boring Michael Bisping fight. He's always fighting. He's always, he believes in himself. He's a hard worker. He talks shit, but he backs it up. If he loses, fuck it. You know, I was there when he lost Luke Rockhold. I was there when he beat Luke Rockhold.
Right.
And one of the things I respect the most about Michael Bisping is the fact that he took that rematch for that title shot versus Luke Rockhold, because the first fight did not go his way.
Yeah.
And it was almost Luke did it. I'm not going to say easy, but he had a really good night, in the octagon that first fight. You know what I mean? Yes. With Michael Bisping. So for him to take that rematch on short notice for the title, a 5-round fight, and a fight that he got finished in, that he got just beat handedly, and then to go and stop that dude,
it speaks volumes about him. So does his record. Whenever he was beaten, it was always by a top tier guy, top five. Yeah. And then if you look at his record, whenever he got beat, it was always by a top guy. And then he went on a friggin' winning streak. Yeah. He just smashed everyone he put in front of him until he got back into contention. And one of the things I've admired and I feel is very worthy of people should appreciate is that he never, ever, ever give up. He always would be like, you get beat maybe by the some of the best guys, beat everyone else he put in front of him, get back in there, maybe get beat, get back in there. He was always a guy who believed in himself, and I really appreciate that.
And some of those fights could have easily went the other way that he lost.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? There were some decisions where I'm like, wait a minute, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So, hey, man, much respect to the former champ, Michael Bisping. Listen, he got that strap.
Rightfully, you know, and rightfully so.
Career.
Rightfully so.
We have a lot in common. We both won the Ultimate Fighter. We both had upsets. I mean, I want to see what's next for him. Yeah. He does great doing what we're doing here. He has a podcast, Believe You Me, I believe it's called.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
He does that with Louis
J. Gomez.
Louis J. Gomez, not Louis C.K. The fuck? I knew there was an initial name. I know Louis Gomez.
Yeah.
Louis J. Gomez. Yeah, he doesn't like when you don't say
Louis.
Louis J. Gomez. There you go, But they got a good thing going. Yep. They got a good chemistry. Kind of like me and you, Jamie English.
Oh, yeah.
You're the yang to my yang. Now you sing back, I'm your yang to your yang.
I'm not going to do that.
Well, come on, Jamie. Jamie. Don't do that, Jay. I was testing you. If you would have done that, we would have kicked you to fucking. Don't sing with me. Don't do that.
Can I just read a couple of stats that I wrote down about Bisping as he retires?
You do that.
He retires with the second most octagon time in UFC history, 6 hours, 5 minutes, and 33 seconds.
That's what are you trying to say? You can't finish the fight?
No,
what's your problem?
It's behind Frankie Edgar, Edgar. 6 hours, 47 minutes and 33 seconds. He has the most bouts with 24, wins with 16, and strikes landed 1,350 in UFC middleweight history.
Yeah.
And he's also tied with Jim Miller for the most bouts in UFC history, period, 29. And he's tied with GSP and Cowboy Cerrone for the most wins with 20. So,
that's awesome.
Let me tell you what he's amazing. He's a legend.
I mean, you think about
he gets the Weidman applause.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's what he gets.
As he should say. Yeah. When you think about those kind of, I mean, if you envisioned your career in any endeavor, you would want those kind of results. That's something you can really talk about with pride. He's fought everybody win, lose or draw, and he's never shied from me. He never shied away from anything. So I give him massive props. And he was a champion, you know.
And what he has going for him now is the fact that he's doing the acting a lot.
Yeah,
I know he enjoys that. And then he's also, like I said, he's doing that podcast, and he has another radio show over at Sirius with Luis J. Gomez.
That's awesome.
I got that right.
You got it. Yeah.
And so he's, you know, and he said that's picking up and that's getting fans and this and that. So he's going to come in here sooner or later, because I told him the other day, I go, dude, when you're in New York doing your thing, I'll jump on your show, you jump on mine.
Oh, great.
And then he said, yeah, mate. He didn't say that. I'm hearing a lot of the mate lately. I don't think he says that, does he?
Yeah, probably.
Where's
slips
he
out
from
now,
exactly?
I think he's from just outside Liverpool, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so. You know,
I think he's from Manchester.
He used to be a DJ and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think he was a famous DJ. He was really good in his town or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
No?
Yeah.
I'm not making that shit up. I heard that.
That's good, yeah.
He's a cool motherfucker.
He does.
And he's a good fan. And not for nothing, husband and fathers. He looks like he has great kids and everything. Yeah. Good for you, Michael Bisping.
Yeah.
I'm happy for that guy.
Me too.
You know, because a lot of guys, they stick around too long. I know it's hard to walk away, and it must have been harder than he's probably even letting on.
Yeah, of
but
course.
But he did leave on his, because I know he always wants to see if I can do that one more, you know? And then it's hard to just say, you know what, screw it.
Yeah, if you can leave on your own terms, I think you're always going to be happy with that, you know?
What's on your shirt? It's a fucking monkey with a ray gun. What's the matter with you? They say I'm weird. Huh? Listen, what are you doing with that? What the fuck is that?
Trying to out-weird you, mate.
Yeah. That is weird. You know?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, any other... What's going on with Nick Diaz?
Yeah, so Nick Diaz, well, he was arrested following an alleged domestic violence incident in Las Vegas, charged with felony domestic battery by strangulation.
Now, what does that mean exactly?
I mean, a choke of some kind, and then as well as misdemeanor domestic battery for the alleged incident. The UFC released a statement, said they're aware of it. They're looking into it, you know, independently from whatever kind of police investigation going on.
We can't even comment on that. We don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, kind of remains to be seen what happened.
All right.
There, so
yeah. Well, there's several sides. Hopefully he'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know, I like those Diaz brothers. Well, anything else before I get into my movie, The Minute and a Half?
Yeah, why don't we just say this, because we'll save some news for Thursday's show. But the UFC and ESPN have agreed.
Oh, wait, let's talk about that really.
That's a big deal. We could talk to Dana when he calls in next week about it. But it's a five-year deal. In 2019, everything the UFC does is going to ESPN. So there'll be 30 UFC fight night events per year, 10 main cards on the TV networks, 20 will be on the streaming service ESPN Plus, and then there'll be prelim bouts for the 12 pay-per-views.
For how many years are they doing it?
5 years.
5 years. It's so interesting. You know what that means to me? I just got to get the channels down. Like when they switched over to Fox from Spike or whatever it was back in the day,
yeah.
I would be like, all right, okay, this is a 583 on this, and this is. I just have to get that. Once I get that down, it's not. It don't mean that much. I mean, I'm happy. It's a great deal. I heard and this and that. You know, I'm go team. I'm with the UFC here.
Yeah.
But so I heard it's a phenomenal deal.
Yes.
But on a personal note, I just got to get the channels down because I don't watch sports. Yeah. ESPN's all about sports.
Yeah.
The only thing I watch is fighting. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Oh, I love it.
You got to think this is going to help. I mean, and you know, Dana talked about it a little bit over the weekend that, you know, people are, there's always people that are going to be critical or whatever. And he's like, you're crazy if you think this doesn't help grow the sport. It has to. I mean, it's just going to open up to so many more fans. Yeah. I think.
What else you got?
I mean, I know you're itching to do a movie minute if you
Well, I mean, listen, I think it's about time. We could talk about that for a second or two.
Sure.
Ready?
Yeah.
Hit it.
Oh, well, you cut. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Here we go.
Hi, everybody. That's me. And this is my good friend, Jamie English. I'm making it's a separate show. I kind of like making it like it's a separate thing. So, Jamie, we both seen. Now, let me tell you about, I've seen it twice. Now, this is the thing. I had to tell my wife after the fact. Now, a lot of people, when anybody went to Vegas, now this is funny, because guys go to Vegas, they do all sorts of deviant shit.
Right.
Want to hear how square I am? Not literally. Don't look at my body like that. I know I'm stocky. I didn't mean literally square.
Okay.
But this is it, Jamie. So we were out there, me and Chris Wyman were at the Red Rock.
All right.
The Red Rock. Why are you bored already with my story, Jamie? Sip your fucking coffee. I'm telling you my story and you look bored.
I go, I'm listening, really listening. Is it just my face?
Oh, it's just your face. I'm sorry. Listen to me. So it was just my 11-year wedding anniversary.
Oh, hey.
Congratulations. So, yeah, no, I mean, I'm married. Well, you're right. All right, everybody. It's not necessary. husband and a father. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, quiet like down. Everybody Academy. Quiet down. So, you know, my wife's like, hey, listen, you know, I was traveling a lot. She goes, all right, we'll go to me and my wife. Listen, I'm as simple as the day is long. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's a saying. But I'm not exactly a big frills guy. Like, I don't need, like, a lot of shit. In other words, you know what me and my wife like to do? We go out to get something to eat, and then we go see a movie. And it's kind of, that's it. I don't need to go out. And, you know, sometimes now with the movies, they actually have drinks there if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But a lot of times we'll get a couple of drinks during the dinner. Right. Well, my wife does. Not me.
No, not you.
I have different things I like to do.
I'm sure, yeah.
So, but my wife will have a couple of drinks. Maybe like an Amaretto Sour. This is boring. But let me get to the point. Mm-hmm. Listen. It's not funny. So listen. So this is my night. So anyway, so that's what we like to do. So we're like, listen, after you get back from your video game thing, before that I was in Puerto Rico, I was telling you I had a crazy week.
Yeah.
So she goes, when you come back, we'll go see Deadpool 2. She was excited about that. Now, it's a blessing and a curse when your other half is into the same shit that you're into.
Yeah.
Because usually girls are like, a comic book movie. All right, go with the boys. It's okay. But I'm into that. And my wife's into it, which is cool.
You couldn't wait, could you?
I couldn't wait.
I know.
Now this is I know you're cutting right to the chase. I don't blame you, because this is what happens. My wife wanted, when you come back, we'll go see Deadpool. So now I'm out with Chris Weidman. Now he's also a family man, and we're in Vegas. We get done shooting a thing. Now we're in Vegas. You understand me? Look at me. We're in Vegas.
There's options.
Now we easily could be shooting fucking Hangover 4 out there. We could be getting nuts. You understand?
waking up on a
fucking
hotel
tiger
room.
In our room.
What the hell's going on here?
You know, the sofa on fire. It could be a night like that. Yeah. But then I go, you know what? Let me take a little bit of medicine and let me just relax. And then let's go see Deadpool 2, because it's right here in the hotel. Red Rock's beautiful. I love the Red Rock Casino. It's like a resort. It's not on the strip. Okay. So then that's what we did. I go, but listen, Wyman, listen, whatever you do, don't tell my wife. Now we're in Vegas. I'm like, don't tell my wife that we're going to see Deadpool. Just if you're, because he wanted to take a picture. Like, let's do us with the popcorn. I go, listen, man, I can't let my wife. Let's just say we saw Infinity War. So this is, how sad is it that I'm in Vegas lying about seeing a movie? I'm going to see a movie.
Yeah.
Fucking pussy I am. Whatever. Anyway, so then we go. You know, nowadays when you go see a movie, you can't just go pick any seat. You know that. You got to pick your seats when you go there. So we're looking at that. Me and White, no, you're picking the worst seats. And I go, dude, no, I don't want to be right next to people. Why are you putting us right next to somebody? Mm. And he goes, He goes, let her pick. I go, why do we want to let her pick? He goes, why? She's an expert because she works here?
Yeah, yeah.
So then the girl's behind me. She's like, okay, I pick you a nice one. And so she picked a couple things. So then we go in there, and I go, I don't want to sit here. And he goes, I'll sit here. I go, but these might be somebody else's seats. Ooh, so then we sit down.
I was going to tell you two to move.
This is where it's weird. I'm not that guy where I'm not comfortable making other people uncomfortable when I'm in the wrong. Because what if somebody comes up and it's all shitty with me because I'm in their seat, and I got to get up and move because I shouldn't be there. Right. You understand?
I know what you mean.
So we're sitting. And Wyman's not giving a fuck. We're sitting in these seats. And every time somebody would come in, it's starting to get more crowded. So every time somebody comes in, I go, let's move. He goes, you're paranoid. I might have been a little paranoid.
I wonder why that is.
I might have been.
Was there any reason why?
I might have been a little paranoid. Well, part of it's because I'm not in my right seat. Right. So I know I'm wrong. And then sure enough, so every time somebody would come in, I'd go, is this your seat? And they'd walk over to us, and then they'd walk. I go, oh, no, is this your seat? So they must think I'm a fucking weirdo. Like, I want them to sit on my lap or something. So this wife is just looking at me. He's like, what are you doing? I go, well, dude, we're not in our seats. Let's go to our seats. He goes, it's too late now. The previews are starting. So then sure enough, a guy and his girlfriend come over, and they're looking. They come on, and they saw me and Chris. I swear the dude recognized. I think the dude recognized us. Now I'm like, now we look like two dicks, man. We're in this guy and his girlfriend's seat. So I just get, I go, Chris, come on. I go, dude, is this? And it was their fucking seats. Like a couple of bullies. What I became what I hate the most.
Oh, God.
The devil's lettuce made me do it.
The devil's lettuce.
No, but anyway, so we got up, we moved. It's not a great story, but that's it. But that was weird, though.
Okay.
So anyway, so we saw Deadpool 2. And then I went home, and I seen it again with my wife. Listen, it was a white lie. It was a white lie that I went to the movie with Chris Wyman. They're like, listen, I could be doing sick TV and shit.
Instead,
but I don't.
I lie. People out of their seats.
That's
in a
right.
movie theater.
You can't prove that, first of all. But anyway, so listen. Let's talk about it. Now, you've seen Deadpool. Did you see the first Deadpool?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
How did you enjoy Deadpool 2?
I loved it.
I loved it too!
Yes!
Jamie!
God damn it. Jamie,
that's a high 10 for people at home. I loved it too. It was a worthy sequel.
Yes.
From the beginning to that Dolly Parton track, he's killing to the 9 to 5 music. I thought I loved the characters. I loved Josh Brolin.
Brilliant.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Josh Brolin?
That is an actor.
Same one who played Thanos. Right.
Yeah.
I loved him as Cable.
Brilliant.
And I wasn't a huge Cable fan. I thought he was cool, but I loved his. I liked that he was blocking with that futuristic thing, and he had that little John Connor Terminator slash together. Like, he was just. Very cool character. I like the little chubby kid.
Yeah.
Who was making jokes about no plus size superheroes. How he's like, damn, it feels good to be a gangster. He was a funny little chubby kid.
Yeah, he was good.
I love the spoilers. I love the special appearance by the motherfucking Juggernaut. Did you see? They did him right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Did you see the Juggernaut in that thing?
Brilliant.
I love the humor in it. And first of all, let's talk about Domino. She deserves that.
She does.
She deserves that.
She deserves that.
Her superpowers being lucky, which was both.
Brilliant.
It was so great. The way the action scenes, it was the comedy in it, which was so great. It was so.
Brilliant.
It was great. It was the music. I love the fucking music in it.
It's great.
It gets you amped up.
It does.
That third act.
Can I ask you this? So this Domino, I didn't see the movie, but so are all these other people that have powers?
Who plays Domino, by the way? Could you look that up? Because she deserves.
It looks like Zazie Beetz is her name.
Man, Zazie Beetz. I loved her hair. I loved everything. She was cute. Her powers were awesome.
Yeah.
And it's funny. He makes a joke like, "But you're super." The fourth wall thing is great.
Yeah.
When he's just like, and he's also just like, "Yo, your superpower is lucky." First of all, it's not a superpower, and it's the most uncinematic thing ever. Meanwhile, when you see action sequences with her luck and how it plays, it couldn't be more like pleasing to the eye.
Yeah.
You know,
it was very well.
What
done.
A great sequel, man!
Yeah.
I like when he just his little things with the X Force. So he's always say he puts together the X Force group.
Yeah.
What man? A sequel's a tricky thing.
Yeah.
Especially coming off like a surprise hit the way Deadpool was.
Yeah.
They pulled it off. Zero piss breaks. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah.
I saw it twice. And I'm going to go see it again. I'm going to take my father and my brother. Because I like the movies.
I like the movies.
We do that. Then we go to Domenico's, get some eggplant rollatini.
Brilliant.
Perfect, right?
You know what you're doing.
Where do they get their powers? The Domino, whatever. Do they get the powers the same way that he got his?
No. They don't even say how they got the powers. Okay. He basically just put out an ad for a super duper group.
Okay.
And they have these.
I love the way that
he's like, what am I, catfished? The guy comes in with a picture that looks like nothing like him. The guy, what's his name, Peter or something?
Yeah. It was like, it was so funny. He has no powers whatsoever. I thought that was great.
I thought, I can't say enough. People, go see Deadpool 2.
Gotta see it.
It was good. It was really good. Worthy. I'm telling you, I might like it better than the first one.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean.
Yeah.
And I like Colossus. I like the thing with he was doing that almost like the scene from Say Anything. You ever see that movie?
Yeah,
with
John Cusack when he's holding the thing.
I loved it.
That was brilliant.
I loved it. Deadpool 2. I know Phoenix saw it the other day too. We gotta give her a shout out about that. I want to talk to her about that.
Yeah.
What else?
I mean, I think
we're done. I think
we covered everything, man.
We had a good time.
I love
that. No, Jamie, did you have a good time?
I always have a good time.
You couldn't even
look
at
me. Thank you for
coming in, Jamie, why are you looking at Chris the producer when I asked if you had a good time? You didn't really have a good time.
He gets jealous if I look at you too much.
Do you want to go get something to eat?
Yeah.
I'm so hungry.
And then let's go to Henzo's.
Let's go to Henzo's. Master Henzo's. I'm going to text him, see if he's going to be there too. You don't have to do it right now. It's weird.
Yeah,
but listen, Jamie, I say first we go across the street because it's so easy right now to do like we did last time when you were here and go get that rigatoni a block away.
Mm.
It's so good.
It's dangerous.
But we're not doing it. How do I look? Seriously, I'm flexing.
Sexy.
Don't say sexy. I wasn't looking for that as an answer. I've been training though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can see my training on MattSerraBJJ.com. No.
What's it called?
Sarah, at MattSerraBJJ. No. I put a little clip out of me and my buddy Zach Rowland the other day. It was a money clip.
Did you come on?
I don't usually do that. But I didn't come on him.
Oh.
Matter of fact, I don't even know if we got any submissions. We just had a nice long roll. He's good. He's a brown belt of mine.
That's awesome.
My buddy Zach. there's some guys you just like to roll with. And he has a wrestling background too, so he's got that wrestling base, yet he's skilled in his submissions, good off his back. And we had a night, and after being traveling for the last week up on planes back and forth, and I needed to get ringed out like a sponge, and damn, did that feel good. People, you don't got to train with me. You don't got to train with Jamie English, but train.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
It's good for your soul.
It's good for your soul. Yeah. It's good for your ego. It makes you a better person, a more understanding person. You got to channel that Zen.
Yep.
You know who needs to start getting some Zen in their life? Look, there's something wrong with my neck. I'm pointing to somebody. Could you please train?
Yeah.
Okay, Chris, the producer. Everybody, I want to thank Jamie. What do you want to promote?
Henzo Gracie Academy.
Where is that?
224 West 30th Street.
Dude, I love your accent. Here in Manhattan, New York, New York.
Yes, sir.
If they want to get in touch with you, Jamie English, some people might be listening to this going, I want that mofo to hold pants for me. And they might say that.
They might.
They might not. They might say they might want you to put them through an MMA physical fucking fitness test. No, a fucking an MMA personal training session. Is that what you tell? I'm trying to sell you fucking Jamie. If people want to train with you, how do they get in touch with you, Jamie English?
You should just go into the academy.
Why would you? I'm trying to sell you.
I'm cool.
Why do you gotta make it difficult?
I'm a very shy person.
Jamie, if they go, I see what you're doing. You're making it almost difficult to get in touch with you. That way they go, I have to. Now it's so hard. I got to get in touch with them. So they'll feel special when they do. That's if right. They walk into the Henzo Gracie Academy and they ask for Jamie English, are people going to point them the right way?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right, everybody. Listen to me. Thanks for listening. I will not be here, most likely, the next episode because I might keep graduating.
That's next week.
Wait. What?
That's like we're recording tomorrow.
Oh, wait. I'm going to be here.
You'll be here the next episode.
All right, everybody. False alarm. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.